Hello, my beautiful people. Welcome back to another episode of the Pursuing Faith podcast. I'm Lana and we have Ignacio with us. If you want to say hello,
I'm always with us.
go say
I'm
hello.
always. Hi, my beautiful people. How are you today?
But today is going to be an interesting topic.
It's been requested by a few comments,
Okay.
like
And
people asking about our journey.
yeah, I just feel really called to guide more people, especially women, and as your part, you're gonna guide men to really think about what marriage truly is, because I know that the divorce rates are high. I come from a divorced family. My mom has been married 3 times. So
I'm divorced myself.
exactly. So if we can sit here and guide you guys on what we think biblically is a great marriage and how to set you up for a long-lasting marriage until you guys get to heaven, then hey, we're doing our part. But
So it's not what we think, is
I know.
what we've learned throughout the
Okay.
process. Because we definitely went through a lot of things
Yeah.
together, especially coming from like very particular backgrounds, you know. And before we get into this topic, one of the things that I want to kind of highlight is that because there's this trend, and I heard this literally last night, there's this trend amongst Christians that when we tend to hear like tough or not tough, like when we tend to hear testimonies that are like kind of like from doom to light, you know, people tend to feel like, oh wow, I wish I want a testimony like that. And I want to change that thought process and be like, I don't wish my testimony on anybody. I actually wish that my testimony was kind of like the testimony that my son and my daughter will have in the future, where they're being raised in a Christian family and they're going to learn the values from a very young age. But again, God called us in different moments of our lives, and this is my testimony. But I feel that there's this highlighting of like doom to light stories that, for some reason, because we like the redemption stories, we tend to like praise more. But if there's somebody out there that has as I said, like a more healthy testimony, that's something that I want upon my kids. And that's why we are sharing these. We're not sharing these to exalt our testimony being better than anybody else.
Well, I just want to say our testimonies and your testimonies, like what you said, oh, I wish I had the testimony that our kids are going to have. Well, the reason why they're going to have those testimonies is because you had to go through what you went through to get to where you are right now. And where you are right now is what's going to eventually give our kids beautiful testimonies. So I just want to.
No, I agree with that. I'm just saying, like, again, let me give a little more context. I don't want to spend a lot of time, but I follow a lot of Christian content creators online, and there's this trend of kind of highlighting like testimonies of people that come from like sexual immorality, drug abuse, and how they find Christ. And that's awesome. And we should celebrate that. But we should also celebrate testimonies of people that have been blessed to found Christ from a very young age. Product of, it could be what you just said, product of parents that went through a very immoral situation and then they find Christ, or product of people that have been growing on the church for a very long time, you know, like all testimonies should be celebrated. And that's just what I wanted to put into context there. But going into these,
Yeah, so for today's message and episode, I really wanted to just begin because obviously there's so many topics to marriage and tips and all that. So I kind of want to just make today about sharing where we came from. So let's talk about you grew up in a family that your parents are still married till today, but just explain a little bit of their dynamic because maybe people might see us and they might see like, oh my God, like, Iggy and Lana, our goals, like, I wish I had a husband or I wish I had a wife like her, but it's taking a lot of work and we're still working and it's an ongoing process and journey. And it's not like we were saved by God's grace. So just a little context of where you came from and like how you grew up. So and how did that affect your view of marriage?
So, as you said, my parents are till this day together. One of the things that really impressed me, not of my parents itself, but out of pretty much people that get married itself, is that because I used to be married before, is that when we make the decision to get married, we tend to think, or we tend to married in front of Christ, in front of God, right? Like most people that get married choose to get married in some type of ceremony. Like it doesn't have to be in a church itself, but there's always some covenant that it's being made upon the parties, husband and wife, in front of God. And we go from that to then having as an option divorce, right? You said that the divorce rate is so high. So just having that in the top of your mind, that contradiction, that paradigm that we have on the topic of marriage. But going back to the story, my parents are till this day married. They got married pretty old. My dad was like 34, 35 years old when he got married. And he had me very, like, not for the time it was very old. Today might not be
Really?
old.
Yeah, I'm like, you're
Yeah,
doing
for today,
too.
maybe for this day and time, it might not be old, but for the time he had me very old. And they've been married their whole life, but they don't have till this day a godly marriage, you know, like I think that they have one of those marriages that cost the teaching from oldest generations to younger generations that if you are not happy, you should not do what I did, kind of thing, you know. Like I heard my mom many times, like complaining and not being happy in the relationship. And
You kind of just heard that throughout your whole life, right? Or when did that start?
yeah, I mean, I can't say my whole life, but I do recall that when I was getting older, I would even ask my mom, like, hey, why are you married to this guy if you're not happy? And the answer was never like, oh, because I made a covenant with him, I make a promise to him, or I love him, and I want to make this work. The answer was always like, oh, you know what? Like it's been so many years that we are. I'm sure that they love each other, but it's like it's been so many years that it is what it is. And I kind of grow seeing that, and in my head, I develop this thought that is like, okay, whenever I get married, if I'm not happy, you know, if I and I'm going to give this analogy, if I'm not happy, if she doesn't please me sexually, if she is a pain in my butt, okay, I'm just going to try to talk about it, and if that keeps happening, I'm just going to leave, you know. And I kind of fall into my first marriage like that, you know. I fall with that idea that I was not ready to get married, first of all. You know, I was very young. I got engaged because I was playing rugby outside of Argentina, and she followed me. She was very young, and to me, as somebody that was seeking to be loved because of different things that don't come to the story now, as a young kid growing up, I thought that that was the ultimate showcase of love that somebody can have for me. Like, oh, she left her life for me. And that's why I proposed to her. But then all these other things, which should have been signs to me that I was not ready. It was nothing like, again, like a lot of people tend to think about marriage and they always blame the other side. And yes, in a relationship it's 50-50, but first of all, you need to look at what you can control, you know, and the things that you can do better. And if I go back into my past and I analyze, I didn't understand what marriage was. I didn't understand what.
Biblical marriage was, right?
Say that
Like
again.
a biblical marriage.
Yeah, I didn't understand what. Yeah, when I speak about marriage, and that's the other part, like we can, this is for another topic, right? The concept of marriage is biblical. Like even atheists that talk about marriage, you can't be an atheist and talk about marriage because marriage is biblical. The union of a man and a woman in marriage, it's 100% biblical, but that's a completely different topic. But so that's why, just for the sake of this episode, when we talk about marriage, we're talking about the true meaning of marriage, which is the biblical marriage. So at the time when I got compromised, I didn't know anything about this, and I just knew what I've seen from, you know, my parents, people around me, and I didn't commit, you know, like I just use it as something like cool to say, like, yeah, I have a fiance, you know, but I was not being the best partner. I was not being loyal. I was not being committed. And those should have been flags for me to step away from it. But I didn't out of fear. I didn't do it out of fear of hurting the other people, the other person. And what I didn't realize is that I ended up hurting them more down the line than if I would have just had the conversation, like, hey, I'm not ready for this. I don't even know what we're doing. And I don't think that we should get married. But again, I was young and I went through it. We got married. And then a lot of the thing, I'm going to focus on talking about my side because, again, I don't want to mention anybody's side of the story because I can't speak for them. But from my side of the story is like, I was not a good husband. I was not ready. You know, I didn't love the person. Things happen in between. And the only reason I kept going to tie what I learned from growing up to what happened to me is like the only thing that I kept doing is like, okay, I saw my parents stick together no matter what. No matter what, okay? When that no matter what is without love, you know, like without actually showcasing the love, without actually being there for each other, you know, like I, as I said, I don't doubt that my parents love each other. But the way of loving is not a way, a biblical way of loving your spouse, you know. So that's kind of my little bit of background of my experience. Do I regret things? Yes, I do regret things, not in the sense of like, because I don't want, you know, I don't regret my divorce. Of course, like that's something that needed to happen. But I do regret having to have to go through a divorce. I do regret that because I wish I would have waited and I wish I would have been more prepared for my marriage, you know? But again, you said it before, if I wouldn't have gone through that when I met you and I realized that you were the one and I wanted to be with you, if I didn't have that experience, I would not have been the man that I am today in order for that to be with you, you know, because it was very night and day for me, you know, like, and that's one of the biggest difference that we, the one of the clashes that we had in our relationship is like, I already knew what not to do. I already knew the things that I didn't want it to go through again. I already knew the things that I needed to commit to when getting into my relationship. And you were, and I'm going to let you speak now, is like, I feel like you were on the other spectrum where you were still expecting men to be in a certain way. You were still expecting for men to hurt you. You were not ready for a man to tell you like, hey, I love you and I don't want to destroy this, you know? And for me, it was so frustrating in those times when we were going through our stuff because it was like, all I want for her is to be able to see how committed I am to this to work out. So, what was your perspective of marriage growing up? And what was your experience growing up? You know, I know that you had a past, you have Olivia. You had Olivia with a different man. So how is that affected you to get to that point, and what's your story?
So it's by the way, we got engaged like 2 months, within 2 months of even knowing each other. So that phrase, when you know, is I think pretty real. But it's crazy how for me, I do a lot of things backwards. Like, I don't know why I thought like, okay, having a child with somebody is not as much of a commitment as marriage. And that is crazy, okay? Because that just goes to show you how twisted and how scared I was of marriage, but not to have a child with somebody, you know? So I grew up just, you know, my mom divorced 3 times, or 2 times, and she's on her third marriage now. And, you know, I grew up watching her go back and forth, fighting with my dad about custody. And I guess the dynamic of my mom's marriage is kind of like, you know, they're two separate beings, and then they come home to each other. There's no joint accounts, there's no splitting much of anything. It's kind of like, my money is my money and it's private, and your money is yours. Like, you pay for this, I pay for that, and that's okay. But that's how I grew up thinking, like, we're two different people and we're just coming together. It's not sacred, we're not one. And I have learned so much from my marriage today.
A lot of the things was like hitting heads, you know, because I want to say two things that you just said. Child before marriage, I think that that's clearly because you saw your mom having children with your dad, with your si older sister's dad, and then you had Mike in the picture, which is your stepdad. And the common denominator there is like, I can have children's, and if the relationship doesn't work, I can move on. So having children is less important than getting married. That's the answer of why you
Like, having a child was easier to just get away from the guy if I needed to, because that's how my mind has always been operated. Like, oh, I like you're there because I love you, but I don't need you, right? Now it's like, I need my husband. I look forward to coming home and spending time with him. Like, there's a lot of things that I can't do without him. And if you would have asked me this a few years ago in my previous relationships, I would have been like, well, I got it on my own. I don't need him for anything. Like, he's just there, you know? He can just provide. But I'll have my own too, just in case I need to leave at any moment. And I was always in that mode. Like, I was so easy and quick to leave. Like, if me and him were to get in a fight, okay,
Oh
bye.
boy.
Like, I would leave and not face the situation and not have conversations like an engaged couple would, a married couple would. And that was kind of just like how I was programmed, because I can just leave at any moment with my child in the car, or with no kids, right? So we definitely come a long way. And it's kind of like I was raised to think like, your immediate family is more important than your husband. Like, you can't put anybody over your husband. Like, I will always put my kids and my family first, when in reality, I have learned it's God, your husband, your kids, and then your family.
100%.
And that is one of the biggest takeaways that I have learned from being married and really being one and acting as one, because I never knew what that meant. So it's like, oh, you pick your, like, I was raised to, like, you pick your best friend over your man. You pick this over your man. He comes last over your husband. I'm sorry, not man, but over your husband. And I just want to let you know, like, it's not that way.
Definitely, it's not that way. It takes a lot of work
It takes a lot of
to get to
work.
the point where we're now. I was joking with Jonathan that he's behind the camera. And I was saying like, "Bro, we're going to scare you now, so you don't get married." But I was joking about that. Like being in a healthy marriage is probably the best thing that a man, and I'm going to talk to men now, but a man should strive for. We live in a society where there are a lot of voices out there that are speaking to young men, telling them like, "Oh, you should have multiple women, you should have multiple kids, you should not like have you should have sex with as many women as you want to and have as many kids as you want to with them."
Just really quick, babe, just so you know, like, the environment that I grew up in, I grew up very fast, and like I would hear kids from the ages of 11 to 13 talking about having multiple women and how it was so cool, and like they were being praised for that at 11 years old.
Yeah, I don't know what type of society you were living at 11 years old, but if you were hearing that, but our faith is been developing, but we got together before our faith. It's not that when we, it's not that when I propose marriage. In fact, you said something that in a biblical way, it's kind of like crazy. It's like you got pregnant, and 2 months after, I got engaged with you. So technically, if I'm going to be honest with you, and this is being vulnerable, throughout the first half of our relationship, many times I thought that I was making the same mistake. But this time, the mistake was for the rest of my life because I was going to have a child with you. And yes, the difference between your perspective on like children and marriage, like what we talk about, the way you grow up with your mom. For me, it was different. For me, like a child comes, like a child is my life, and I'm not saying that you didn't have that perspective, but what I'm saying is like I need to do whatever it takes to make this relationship work. At that moment, what my thought process was, I need to make everything work, not because of God at that point, but because of my son. I was not going to allow my son to grow up in a household where mom and dad were not together. But our relationship was very challenging without God. We started doing therapy together, and that definitely helped a lot. But I think that we started having little struggles towards the end of the worst. Because, as I shared on previous episodes, I was so therapy became spiritual search. We started doing therapy where we were talking about, okay, what we're going through, and that kind of help us. But then that therapy turned into spirituality, and now through spirituality, we started, you know, talking about inner child, and we are all God, and all these different things that New Age religions bring to the table. And at that moment, that was like kind of like another inflex point, because we were not seeing eye to eye on that. You were very committed to that, and I was always arguing or challenging those thought processes, you know. And at the same time, it wouldn't help us get any resolution, because we would always blame it to, like, we would always have something to blame it on. Like, we were not trying to seek, like, okay, how can we solve these? It was always trying to understand where her feelings were coming from, or where my feelings were coming from.
In which I felt like I was still trying to be alpha and head of household, and I was not being able to be led.
Mm-hmm.
In which,
that's a great point.
Where,
because, and that's a great point, because part of our arguments was like, I don't want to go to, and I never spoke this publicly, and I hope that this doesn't take the wrong way if somebody hears it. I hope you guys know that I love you.
Mm-hmm.
And that I don't have nothing but thanks and love for you. But this is my my takeaway from my journey. One of the things, and you just said that, is like, I would argue with her, because I was like, we're going to this place. We are not getting anywhere, like, in the sense of like our relationship. We're still going through bits and pieces here and there. And I'm going to a place where none of the men in this environment represent what I want to be as a man. And at that point, I didn't know God's word, but I wanted to be a leader of my family. I wanted to be somebody that my family can count. I would always think from a very young age, like, okay, if the end of the world is coming, I want to be the man who protects my family. That's who I wanted to be. And I was going to a place where the leader of the household of the place, which I love dearly, she was the wife. She was the one with the pants. And she would proclaim this in a very proudful way. And the other men in the group were also like kind of like submissive in their relationships. And then, I don't know, and I'm going to ask you this question to you. I don't know if that scene made you believe that I needed to be submissive too.
Yeah.
Because here, I was not backing down. Like, she could come on me, and I was like, no. And we would get into beef over stuff that it was like very little, but at the same, it was very important.
And I feel like now more than ever, as I gave my life to Christ, like, I truly see you as like a partner. And even though you say you work for me, it's because I allow myself to ask you questions. I'm allowing myself to lean on you, because now I feel like I don't want to know it all. I don't want to do it all. I'm tired. I want to remain, you know, submissive, which is something that I've struggled with and I didn't know how to do. But me being able to lean on you as much as I do helps me be there more for the kids as well.
100%. It helps you take the role of a mother, of a woman, of what women were created for, you know. And for men, it allows me to even flourish more and be more confident because of the way we were created as men, you know. If for men, and this is something that I'm speaking to men now, The reason she decided to submit, and we can talk about what submission means, but the reason she decided to submit is not because I forced her, is not because I oppressed her, is because of God's word, but then it goes based on actions. Me as the leader of the family, I show her that when I don't know the answer, I am willing to come to the table and talk about things. Her word has as much saying as mine. It's just the way we apply what being a leader in the family means, not shutting you down or not listen to your opinion. It means in going through with the decisions that we make. And sometimes, yes, there's decisions that she will say to me, like, I trust you, you know?
Yeah.
And I'll just go with it.
Yeah. Which a lot of the times, like, I would kind of just dismiss whatever he had to say and just do whatever I wanted to do. Even when it came down to our kids, like, oh, you know, Papi said no, but Mommy said yes, so it's what Mommy says. So that's, you know. So in another form of submission is like going to you and asking you, like, what do you think about this? Talking about it and then making a decision together versus just like, okay, well, I'm mom, I'm the head of the household, and I do,
which now
we do whatever I say, which that's how it was programmed.
Which now Olivia.
Oh yeah, I that's what I was laughing. Go, you can go ahead.
No, that Olivia, like a few, because one of the things that we work together as a family is like respecting our time as a family. You know, before when we were not when God was not in our marriage, there were no boundaries to like, okay, during the week that Olivia has to go to school, what's the latest time that, you know, I don't know, people can be in the house, or what type of food she should eat on the weekends, you know, like on during the week, like, oh, if grandma is over, candy and stuff like that. So Olivia was with her grandma, and she was trying to get her grandma buy her like McDonald's. And I don't know how it went about, but she said, like, now there has been a change of power in the house.
I think my mom was like, oh, your papi said no, or...
Yeah, something. She wanted to get candy or something. And I've been telling Anita, which I love you a lot. She says, like, oh, no, I can't get you candy or McDonald's because papi said no.
Yeah, and she's like, well, yeah, because there's been a change of power now. And, you know, I guess the mom would get offended, but I was so happy because that is God.
Yeah.
I'm like, look, that's me improving on being submissive and working as one.
100%.
So again, like, you can work and own a business and be a boss while still being submissive with your husband. And honestly, it makes life so much easier when you can depend on somebody. And again, like, it was so hard for me. Like, even God tells me, like, you can depend on me. I grew up just always having to make decisions alone, not being able to really rely on anybody. So, and now, like, I even like to be led too while I'm at work. I'm like, you know what, Danielle, you're the boss. You make the decision. I don't know. Like, being open-minded and being firm and not just being selfish and thinking about me and trying to like always be right and letting your ego get in the way. So,
and that's something too for men that I want to bring up, is like being a leader. And we have this culture thing, you know, for women, they feel like, oh, being submissive is being a slave.
Yes.
And for men, they think that being the leader of your household is like being a dictator. And if we go back to talk a little bit about scripture, okay, Christ says, husbands, treat your wife as Christ treat the church. And if we look at Christ's life, he sacrificed for his church.
Oh my God.
So being a leader, And this is in every aspect of your life, even, and this is why, like, sometimes for women, and I'm going to take accountability for this comment, that this is why sometimes for women it's so hard to submit to men, because nowadays it's hard for them to find a good leader. You know, one of the things that really anger me with my in my relationship is that I was showing her that I was a good leader. I was showing her that despite her giving me rebuttals, despite her not fully submitting to me, I was still sacrificially loving her. I was still sacrificing myself for you, you know? And when I talk about sacrifice, I'm talking about like doing stuff that sometimes it's not what you want to do. I'm talking about going above and beyond to show her that you love her, that you care for her. I'm talking about being there for her even when she's on that time of the month that she's like, whatever you say, she might kill you, you know? And it's those things, you know? Like, you guys just hear that she submit to me, like, but every morning for the last few days, she's been asking me to cook her dinner on the grill. So every morning at 7 a.m., I apologize to the neighbors if you guys get smoke, but I am grilling at 7 a.m. for my wife to take to take to work.
Because I don't like reheated
And
steak.
that's me submitting to God's word in servicing my wife. And that's a very lame example, but I
No, but
just,
I think it's really like, I don't know a lot of husbands that cook for their
you
wife
know, I just
in
want
the
to put that
morning.
into perspective, because I don't want this to be like, oh, you see what Lana says now? You have to submit to me, like husbands of the ladies that are watching this. Oh, you need to submit to me, and they're being abusive. You know, like, don't confuse leadership with abuse. Like, leaders eat last. You know, leaders do everything last. So that's what means to be a leader. You know, it's like putting yourself last and doing everything you can to have your dependents in a good place. You know, and that's what God called us to do every single day in a marriage. And I think that to us, it was day and night, the moment we gave our life to Christ and we started listening to the word of God. And funny enough, I always say that God, it's a funny being, because I think it was like the first couple of sermons that we went, it were all related about marriage. Like, literally, like, talking about how wives should submit to their husband, how husbands should treat their wife, how all these different things, you know. And that's when, without having read at that time the whole New Testament, we started going through passages like Colossians 3:18 that says, wife, submit to your husband as is fitting in the Lord. Ephesians 5:22, wife, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. Ephesians 5:25, husband, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. You know, I think that again, the whole thing about Christianity is that there's a lot of people out there that they take what they want from the word of God and they go about their lives claiming, like, oh yeah, women should submit to men. That's what God says. Okay, what's the context that he's saying it? How is he saying it? And apply it, you know, and do it properly. Like, great power, I said this all the time, great power comes with great responsibility. And if you want to be a leader and you want your wife to respect you and you want your wife to follow you, you need to be willing to eat last, you know.
Give her back rubs, wash her feet.
Yeah, I do that.
I know.
Not every night, but I do that
Okay,
when you
well,
ask.
he's like, you don't
So
even call
look,
me anymore.
I'm going to say
And I'm like,
this.
the reason why I was calling you back then was to check up on you, not because I actually wanted to talk to you, it's just to see where you were at because I didn't trust you.
But I'm going to say
So.
this, that it's insane. It's insanely
Save it for the next episode.
No, it's insanely marvelous. I don't know if that's a word or if I
It
just created a word,
is. No, it is.
but
It is.
to me, and I know that people may get offended if they listen to these people that we know. To me, it was day and night how our life changed when we put God first. And it's so easy now to call each other out and bring us back from moments where we are being deceived or we're being pushed away by the devil and we're falling down back into our old patterns. You know,
Yeah.
it's so easy. You know, like I do it with her, she does it with me. Having God as the North Star and having His Word to guide us, it made our relationship so much easier that, like, I had a conversation with her, you know, like, she's like, when we started our faith and we were still going through heat in the relationship, she was like, oh, we need to go back to therapy. Remember? And I told her, like, I'm not going back to therapy. She's like, oh, why? So you're not going to go to therapy ever again? And I'm like, look, I don't have nothing against therapists. I don't have nothing against therapy. I know that I'm not going back to the therapy that we were doing. If we find a Christian therapist, please, by all means, set it up. But I want to tell you something, Lana. If we cannot solve these issues by reading the Word of God and by talking to God about it and by coming together and having an open conversation with each other, we're always going to be falling into the same hole over and over again. And again, therapy is great, but at some point you need to do the work. You need to be able to sit down and have the conversation. You can depend on a third party all the time. The only third party that you can depend on all the time is God. We can depend on another human being that is dealing with their own issues to be interceding over and over again, especially in our relationship that we didn't have no huge challenge, you know, like I'm saying, like there's people, like again, people need to go to therapy when a couple loses a kid,
That's
when there's
true.
infidelity, when there's certain things like that. But in our relationship, it was more kind of like our own ego was getting in between, you know?
Because
So,
I'm calm until I'm not. And then there's a real big storm. And I'm a hothead. I was.
yeah, and I get frustrated because I'm the type of person that I talk about things and I want to solve them right now. And that's not healthy either
Which was,
because people need their time,
I
so I
get you,
understand
but
that.
I guess you come from a place where
Conversations
conversations
were
were
okay,
normal and like
yeah.
how you kind of just ended your marriage was like what, like on a table discussing you guys, and it's kind of like it's not working out here. It's not, it wasn't like you packed all your stuff and you left and you never spoke to him again,
No, no.
which is how I ended my last relationship. There was no conversation. Picked up my stuff, moved out within a week. Came back and he was like, oh, you left. Like, he was like, oh, well, you didn't even leave me a blanket. Thanks. And I'm like, I left you furniture. So that's how it ended.
Yeah.
So I was never equipped to even have conversations. And that's something that I'm still learning. And guess what? Now I apologize. And guess what? Now I apologize within an hour. Or within the same day. I never used to apologize.
Yeah, she
And then
never.
when I first got into his word, okay, I used to apologize like maybe the next day, but now I'm apologizing within the first hour.
Yeah, she never used to apologize.
So with that being said, I think like this is a good episode.
Yeah.
And I and
There's a lot
maybe
to talk about it
yeah.
because I wanna say I know that I had it to go, and that's why I love this topic because the reason I love this topic is because
Wanna film part two right now? Let's do this.
marriage is the end result of two people coming together and becoming one.
Yeah.
But there's so much that we can discuss about this and share with the audience. It's like, as a man, get ready for it, you know, like get ready for it. try to be a godly man, you know. Don't be a slave of the things in this world. Be a slave of Christ, and you will find your partner, you know. And for women, the same thing, you know. Like, don't be a slave of this earth, of your flesh, you know. Like, you can ask for a godly man if you are not a godly woman, and vice versa. So again, we can wrap it up here, but I think that we can definitely do a part two.
Yeah.
And
So let me know in the comments down below whether you're married or you're in just a relationship. Like, let me know what you guys are struggling with. Because we want to read them and we want to find solutions and we want to guide you guys. So,
definitely.
with that being said, our Pursuing Faith journals are now out. We have them in stock, ready to ship. If you haven't yet joined our community app, it's called Circle. It's completely free. We're still working on the events. We're getting closer there. We're just waiting on responses. And I'm very excited. So I love you guys. Let's connect. Please comment down below. Again, it's not for engagement. It's to truly just read the comments and find out where you guys are at in your relationship so that we can equip you
Yep.
through his word. So I love you guys and we'll see you next episode.
Bye bye.